Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ Is The Real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, a lot of good stuff, a lot of college football. We got to do a lot more college on Monday than we usually do because we didn't have to talk about the Texans. But we also talked about the NFL and hit that Missouri thing a little bit, which I did not hear you cough. So apparently, can you hear me right now? I can hear you. John, can you?
We're still.
This button, if I push that button down, nothing changes.
Well, the volume increases exponentially in my headphones.
Oh, it's. So the cough. That's great. So the cough button, instead of not allowing me to be heard, makes me heard louder?
Well, in my headphones, yes.
Well, what about
On the air?
Yeah, we care about the people.
I don't know.
Okay, we've got to find that out. We need to test that somehow.
All right.
So I
think we just did.
We still don't have an answer.
Yeah. All right. So here's what I'm going to do. Somebody will text me the answer. I'm going to hold down the cough button and say something, and if they hear it, they'll text me that they heard it, right? And I will just say, okay, so if you heard that, you just text the show and say, hey, I heard you say what you just said.
Okay.
And if you didn't hear that, then it won't matter. You'll say, oh, okay.
I got a text that said, no, I couldn't hear you.
Okay. It sure does get loud in your headphones.
It does get really loud, yeah. Which is going to be obnoxious.
Of course, we have an off button here we can use. We're in our new studio, so that's why. Yeah, and we're trying to, which is cool. It's a nice setup. There's obviously some things that need to be cleaned up around here.
I think that cough button works.
Yeah, okay. What's up with the, there's like sawdust all over the floor. What's going on?
Well, he had to cut some stuff around to make sure everything fit.
Do we not own a vacuum here?
Maybe he missed it.
Come on.
It looks
like if you, let's say instead of sawdust, let's say he killed someone in here.
There's not that much in there.
That's like him saying, oh, well, you left an arm laying there. And go, oh, I must have missed that arm. That's like a large pile of sawdust.
Where, the one next to Fred?
The one right there in the front.
Yeah,
the
that's desk. Not that much.
It looks like somebody brought in a whole bag of cat litter and dumped it there. Yeah. That's what it looks like.
We'll disagree on what's a lot of sawdust to be on the floor of a radio studio.
So basically people could not hear it, but they probably picked it up on your microphone.
Yeah, a couple people did say that.
So, all right, I guess basically if we're going to do the cough thing, we should just hit the off button, huh?
Okay.
All right, we're figuring this out. It's a new setup, but we like it. 713-780-ESPN. All right. We are, this is where we usually go through the rest of the league in the NFL, so we'll do that, then we'll grab your phone calls. So we'll start off with one of the early games that was a big one, the Packers and the Panthers. Panthers win at 37-29. Kind of two different halves here. The Packers seem really committed to the run in the first half, and they got down and went back to doing what they do, and got back in the game, but give the Panthers some credit. That's a very good defense, and they got the win.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, once they figured out that, you know, the Panthers being a good pass defense doesn't apply when your name is Aaron Rodgers, they decided to get back in the game, but too little too late. Panthers are good, man. I when you watch that team play, they make so many mistakes, and, you know, I'm still not a big Cam Newton guy.
Well, boy, what a bad interception in the fourth quarter.
But, you know, gave them a chance to get back in the game. Yep. But they're winning football games. And defensively, I think they're fantastic. But even though this wasn't a great defensive performance, you know, they find a way to get things done.
And we were talking about earlier when the Falcons were off to such a good start about how easy their schedule was the rest of the year.
Well, same goes for them.
Well, now that they've gotten by the Packers and the Seahawks,
yeah,
which was the difference in their schedule and the Falcons, Here's what they come home with. At the Titans, the Redskins at home, at the Cowboys, who still won't have Romo back, at the Saints, Falcons at home, at the Giants, at the Falcons, Buccaneers at home.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going undefeated. I think they'd lose a couple games coming in, but that's a pretty favorable schedule. All right, Patriots beat the Redskins 27-10. It's just kind of what the Patriots do. Thought the Redskins might cover, but they're just garbage.
Yeah, I mean, not much to say about it. The Redskins just didn't have enough from the running game. They didn't have enough from Kirk Cousins, and they weren't able to slow him down enough early to really keep him out of it. LeGarrette Blount just had a day.
Yeah,
you know. Tom Brady threw for 300 yards and two touchdowns, and we're kind of like ho hum about it. They just had a really good game, and the Redskins played like the Redskins.
And Brandon LaFell sighting too.
Yeah,
a pretty decent
about
game.
Time.
Titans go into New Orleans, beat the Saints. The same Titans team that could do nothing against the Texans.
Not the same team.
Pretty much
Marcus
the same
Mariota
team.
Is a difference maker for that team.
He is.
I mean, their offense goes from being just total garbage to being something you can actually say, oh, maybe they've got something there.
But you know what the difference is? Their offensive line played a hell of a lot better than
That's
they did
true.
Against the Texans. And I don't think it would have made much of a difference when they're giving up seven sacks. But they played better on the offensive line. They simplified that offense a little bit. I thought the play calls were better. That's what happens when you change coaches. And you could just see that the longer they hung around, the more confident that team got.
Yeah.
And the Saints blew a big chance there to stay in the playoff race. That's a bad loss at home. And I think and Joey Browner was just terrible. This guy gets called for everything. I mean, all he does is grab. All right. The not-so-lowly Buffalo Bills put a spanking on the Dolphins and that was a fun game to watch, and it just seemed like whoever the Bills gave the football to was taking off and running. And the Bills' defense, I thought there were a few times they looked a little shaky, but offensively they were really good. And
7.4 yards per carry.
Yeah, you do that, you're going to beat a lot of teams.
They only threw 12 passes, completed 11.
Yeah. What did you think of the going for it right at the end of the half by Dan Campbell? To me, it's a different situation than the Falcons thing. In that situation, you want to get points because
you want to take something out of there.
You get the ball first, and you have a chance to get back in the game.
19-10 it would have been.
Yeah, and then they scored to start the second half, which would have made it
19-17.
Yeah, they would have been right there.
Yeah, no, I was surprised by it, but, aggressive. And this is what I say. When you're a bad team, you can take aggressive risks.
Right.
And the Dolphins are
a
team that was 3-4. They
were
needed
3-4.
To make something happen.
But if you play smart there and get to 4-4, you look around the AFC.
Well, that's what Buffalo did.
Well, yeah.
4-4 now.
Yeah, I mean, you look around the AFC, they're in the wild card race.
No doubt.
There's no question. And the Dolphins aren't because, and that game would have meant a lot. I just thought that was a really odd decision at that situation. And it just goes to show that two different decisions, one can be the right one for one situation, one can be the wrong one. In that case, I thought the field goal was the right way to go. Vikings beat the Rams 21-18 in overtime. Talked about this a little bit. We talked about the Bridgewater hit in the first hour. We also talked about the interesting move the Vikings made to kick off to start overtime.
Thought it was interesting.
And it worked.
It worked out, yeah. I think the difference in that game was, and you saw... I know everyone was upset Teddy Bridgewater got knocked out, but up until that point, Teddy Bridgewater had been meh.
He was having a rough game passing the ball now.
Nick Foles was having a bad – it was just really bad quarterback play in that game.
But let's give a little credit. Both those defenses were playing pretty well.
You're right, and both of them are good defenses.
Yeah.
I think in the matchup of – which was what everybody was talking about, Adrian Peterson versus Todd Gurley – Adrian Peterson's still the heavyweight champion of the world, but Todd Gurley, you could tell, is well on his way.
Jets beat the Jags 28-23. And
I'm telling you, the Jags are getting better.
Blake Bortles still makes too many mistakes. And
he's a young quarterback. It's going
to
happen.
He is, but I'd like to see some progress, man. Protect the ball a little bit better. And some of those interceptions he throws are completely unnecessary. And it's the Kirk Cousins factor. So you can look great for 25 passes, but then you make three that you just shouldn't make. And I think that's one of the things that cost them. But this is a better Jaguars team. I know their record doesn't show it. And, the Jets are better than the Jaguars, and they did what they needed to do to win the game. But I just wish the kid could protect the ball a little more and not make so many bad decisions.
I think the surprising thing is, if you told me the Jags were going to hold the Jets to 1 yard per carry on the ground, I would have said, oh, they dominated the game. Because that's the only way for the Jets to win. But it turns out, the difference between Ryan Fitzpatrick and Geno Smith is so much greater than any of us could have possibly imagined at the beginning of this season. The best thing that could have happened to the Jets is IK Inampali breaking Geno Smith's face.
Yep. And they,
the Jets are a they're a infinitely better team.
And when he gets marched out on the field Thursday, they should go up and thank him.
They should. I mean, the coaches should go out there and say, "Hey, man, you really saved our season," because Ryan Fitzpatrick continues to be one of the biggest surprises. And I'm not saying that he would have been, you know, a savior for the Texans, but you could tell that there's a difference when he's on the field versus anybody, well, Geno Smith or anybody for that team.
And what people forget is when he came back from the benching last year, he was terrific until he got hurt. And he looked like a different quarterback.
That's why I always say careful what you wish for when you're like, oh, we got to get a real quarterback, and you kick Ryan Fitzpatrick out of town. Which I always say I don't blame them because I thought that injury was more severe than it ended up being.
Yeah.
But Ryan Fitzpatrick is a pretty good player, man.
The Steelers beat the Raiders 38-35. We hit on this a little bit in the first hour, but Roethlisberger hurt again.
Man.
And honestly, without him, they're a below-average team. Although D'Angelo Williams was terrific yesterday. Antonio Brown was off the charts.
Yeah, Antonio Brown's a difference maker. And the problem is, I don't know that 284 yards receiving is that's cartoon numbers. But I don't know that D'Angelo Williams next week is going to be anywhere near this, because when Landry Jones is out there, there's you're going to see a lot of guys in the box.
They're going to sell out to try to stop him. And
on the other hand, Derek Carr is getting better and better every week. And the Raiders, you know, they're 4-4. We're talking about 4-4 in the AFC. You're in it. I think the Raiders might be in it. You know,
I think they are in it, although, and they have a win over a team in the Jets that is going to be in that mix as well. Now they have a loss to a team that's going to be in that mix. So,
although I don't know how much, I mean, I don't know how long the Steelers can stay in that mix without Ben.
Yeah, well, it depends on how long he's out. And I think if he misses more than two games, they're in trouble, because I don't know how many they can win with Landry Jones at quarterback.
No, because this defense is not good.
No.
The defense is not good.
Apparently, their strategy in the first half was, let's not guard Amari Cooper.
Or Michael Crabtree.
Yeah,
let them have their way.
Interesting strategy.
I mean, they're lucky that they're up to 5-4, and considering that they've been without Ben for a lot of the year, they're without Le'Veon Bell now. But I just don't know how long they can maintain this, because they don't have a defense.
And, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and do
the
afternoon games, because I want to spend a little time on Broncos, Colts, and Eagles, Cowboys. And, we've talked a little bit about Falcons 49ers already and Giants Bucks, but we'll do that again. Then we'll get to your phone calls. 713-780-ESPN. Happy Monday. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to your phone calls in just a second, but I want to finish up with the afternoon games, where the Giants beat the Buccaneers 32-18. And really, the only interesting thing about this game was, if you bet the under, you got screwed on that last play.
I'm starting to see some improvement in Jameis Winston. He throws a really nice ball. I mean, there's some things to like about. Did you see that Mike Evans set a record for most drops in a game?
Well,
maybe it's in like the last 15 years or something like that. Six drops credited to Mike Evans. If that dude caught, you know, half of the balls that he drops, he'd be one of the best receivers in the league. It continues to be a problem for him. I don't get it. The guy's got physically every gift you could hope for, but just can't hold onto the ball. And, you know, Eli had a down day relative to what he – I mean, you throw away the ball on the first play of the game like he did. It's not going to be a wonderful day, but Eli was able to kind of right the ship a little bit. And, you know, it's a good win for the Giants. It puts them above 500 in a division where that might be all it takes to win.
Yeah, and I'm seeing the progress out of Jameis Winston that I need to see. You know, I wasn't high on him. I still to this day would have taken Mariota over him, and I may still be proven right on that. But I do like I see him developing, and I see him maturing, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you want out of a quarterback. 49ers and the Falcons. And we talked about this a little bit in the first hour, where the Falcons opted for the field goal and why that was different than the Dolphins doing it in the first half. And just to recap it, I understand.
Well, first of all, there's no way to go around that it's an embarrassing loss, right?
This is a terrible loss. Yeah. And the Falcons have played very poor football for the last 3 weeks. Should have lost to the Titans. Did lose to the Bucks. Lost to the 49ers. This is the dregs of your schedule. This is where you're supposed to be winning. And it's interesting, though, because those 3 weeks they have had all kinds of issues in the red zone. I think that might have contributed to why they went for the field goal, so they wouldn't have to go through red zone issues twice. Yeah. If you missed the first hour, I think they should have gone for the touchdown and given themselves two opportunities, even if they didn't get in the first time. But I see why he kicked the field goal there. Having said that, you lost to Blaine Gabbert.
Yep.
Yeah, that deserves the Shane Bell, John. Do we have the Shane Bell set up?
No Shane Bell in the studio?
Okay, we got to have the Shane Bell in the studio.
We need to get me one of those boards where I can push the buttons on what I want to play.
Poor John is still trying to figure this out. He's staring at something. So somewhere there's...
Shame.
Thank you. All right.
That shame on the late Shane Bell, right?
Yeah. It's probably a double shame.
Thank you.
Shame.
Yeah, all right. Colts beat the Broncos 27-24. Another very entertaining game. We hit on this one a little bit in the first half, but... I thought that the Colts offense looked much, much better. The commitment to the run, the blocking schemes were better. So obviously the coaching change helped at least for a week. And Andrew Luck did not, he protected the football better than he has. And I think they took a lot of pressure off him by running the ball. He was able to play better. And in the end, I still think that horrible, horrible penalty by Aqib Talib, that was just dumb. Yeah. I don't think you were winning that game anyway, but at least it would have given you an opportunity to get the ball back down 30-24, maybe score a touchdown.
I think the biggest differences in this game were, one, that T.Y. Hilton was – who was by the way, I set T.Y. Hilton in a fantasy league and played Robert Woods instead because I got an alert on my phone saying that T.Y. Hilton wasn't going to play. So I played Robert Woods, who got a big fat zero. And then T.Y. Hilton goes out and has a game.
Yeah.
He played out of his mind for a guy who was in a walking boot all week. That's a big game for him. But I think the biggest reason why they won is because they made the Broncos a one-dimensional offense.
They did.
And they could not run the football. C.J. Anderson, 7 carries, 34 yards. Ronnie Hillman, 7 carries, 1 yard.
Yeah, and I started him in FanDuel. Thanks for that.
The Colts are not a team that you... that you're not expecting to get good run defense out of ever. But
you know what? The last 2 weeks against Carolina, they did a good job against the run. So that's some adjustments that they've made. So credit to them.
And they were able to turn Peyton over a couple times.
And
like you said, Andrew Luck didn't turn it over. Those are the differences in the game.
And Peyton.
And they needed that win.
They did. And that was a good win for them. And I don't. As much as I'm not too worried about the Packers losing two in a row, I'm more concerned about the Broncos long term because. I think you saw the Colts do some things to a Wade Phillips defense that you can take advantage of.
Yeah.
Specifically throwing to the slot receiver and running right at the pass rushers with the run game. And I think not everybody's good enough to do that, but I think you'll see more of that as the season goes on. And then another tough loss for the Cowboys last night. They fall to the Eagles 33-27 in overtime. Eagles get to 4-4. Cowboys at 2-6. It's not circle the drain time because I still think it's hard for me to see anybody running away with this division, but you can't get much farther back than this. That's a loss that if they come up a game short, that's going to be the one they look back on because they easily could have gotten that one last night.
It seemed to me like the only Cowboy that wanted to play on offense, well, two of them, Dez Bryant and Cole Beasley.
Yeah.
Dez Bryant is clearly back. He's a problem. He's a grown-ass man, but they couldn't get it to him enough. And, you know, the Eagles, it's pretty obvious. They're not a very good team, but they're good enough. You know, they were good enough to beat the Cowboys. And that division, it just seems like nobody wants to step up and take it. And the Cowboys had chances, and they just couldn't do it. And, you know, I've said a lot that, you know, the Cowboys aren't out of it as long as they get. I said they could win if they win a couple games while Romo's out, they'll still be in it. So far, they haven't been able to win any.
No, and that surprises me a little because I think there's enough talent on this team where, and they've been in games that they should have won, But what concerns me moving forward is that even when you get Romo back, what percentage of Romo is he going to be right off the bat?
Exactly.
And you can't just assume that, oh, well, Tony Romo's back, everything's going to be great. Well, he's going to have to work himself back into it. And maybe he's great right off the bat. Maybe he's not. Anyway. And then tonight's game, which David Dilotti was dogging on his update.
You don't like that game, Dilotti? Chargers-Bears?
I don't. I never like it when two losing records play.
You must not like offense.
Yeah, I think this is going to be at least an aesthetically pleasing game if you like seeing scoring.
The national game, I don't know. The national games, there's very few that seem to be appealing lately. And I think it's been a trend. I don't know if it's just coincidental or not.
I think you're just depressed that baseball season's over and you're blaming it on
Well, there's
football.
That too.
That's what it boils down to.
You got all your hot stove stuff. You can go talk to the nerds over on the other side of the room there about that.
How do you feel about our new digs over here?
I like them. Lots of room. But I don't understand. We got this whole big studio with all kinds of room and a huge table and like 19 microphones, yet the three of us are scrunched like within two inches of each other.
Well, eventually we're going to have some people in here one of these days. I've got a lot of plans for now that we've got some more space.
Actually, it's fine unless you're in here. There's plenty of room between me and Aiden. Yeah.
You're supposed to be using that microphone way over there.
Yeah. I want to, but they told me not to.
Who told you that? John?
We can't because those aren't the good mics.
Why did you put the third good mic right here in the mix?
I didn't put it there.
What about this one? This is no good?
No.
See, this is why I don't
come
in.
Why do we have bad microphones
in here?
We've
got five microphones in here, and you're telling me two of them are worthless?
Pretty much.
See, yes, because those are the...
See the issues that happen when I come in studio? This is what happens.
Yeah, but if you don't, then nobody can hear your interviews.
No, that's true.
So
I hope we got that fixed.
All right. Well, if you haven't guessed, you'll hear from David Dilotti next, and... be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. We're back on the Blitz. And joining us now, a little NFL insider information, former NFL and UH cornerback Stanford Rout. Stanford, what do you think of our new studio here?
Man, I like this. This has got a whole lot more room than the last one.
It's nice. I can fart. None of you will ever smell it. I'm so far away.
Well, and I'm right under the air, so
it'll blow it all away.
we're fine. Over here.
I love being able to fart as much as I want.
Well,
not be judged.
Let's. I wanted to ask you first off about a couple of plays that happened with defensive backs yesterday, and I wanted to get your thoughts on both of them because. It's my opinion that what Aqib Talib did is a lot worse than what happened to Teddy Bridgewater because one of them was a football play that might have been a dirty hit, but it was in the course of the game. Yeah. One of them was a guy being an idiot. So your thoughts as a former defensive back, did you ever poke anybody's eye first time?
I've never poked anybody in the eye, but I've definitely grabbed a guy's face mask, tried to sling him around. I've sucker punch people in the piles. I've done all this. It's part of the game now. What he did with it being so in the open, that's just stupid right there. You can't go and just poke a guy in the eye like that.
And then he tried to pretend like, I didn't do that.
Yeah, you got to at least.
There's too many cameras now.
Yeah, there's way too many cameras. Way too many. And you got to find a way to do stuff like that in the pile or while everything is, while so much motion is going on. You can't just do it just that blatant. You got to at least hide it better.
What about the Bridgewater hit? Obviously, that's one where – and you know what it's like. Well, you know what it's like when you're trying to tackle a quarterback who's sliding.
Yeah.
You can't always pull up. In this case, I think he got too deep. But what about that play in particular?
Man, like, it's so hard dealing with these quarterbacks nowadays because they protect the quarterback so much. And I saw the play. I saw exactly how it happened. And it's just a football play. Yeah, it could maybe have been avoided, but – it's just one of those. It's just one of those plays. He's sliding, and then all of a sudden, as he's sliding, he's sliding feet first, and then gets hit in the head. And you could tell he was out cold as soon as before his head even hit the ground.
Let's talk about that Packers and Panthers game a little bit, because I'm sure you got a chance to watch some of that.
Oh yeah, man.
And it seemed to me, and maybe I'm wrong. Get your perspective on it. I thought the first half the Packers seemed to focus too much on trying to run the football. It seemed like they were just trying to, they were going in with that game plan. They were going to run the ball. Second half, when they had to come back, they spread it out and start doing what Aaron Rodgers does, and it got back in the game. Kind of curious why they went that direction, and am I right about that?
I don't know. The Panthers got a pretty good defense. Matter of fact, it's a really good defense, and maybe early on they were just trying to establish the run with Lacy and those boys. And I honestly believe, yeah, they probably should have maybe tried to throw it much earlier, but that's just kind of the way certain games go. Maybe the flow of the game, they were trying to establish something. Maybe they were trying to shy away from Josh Norman. I don't know. The Panthers, they got almost like the perfect recipe come cold weather and late in the season in inclement weather games with good run game, good defense, and just timely throws by Cam Newton, the way they're looking right now. But I'm not going to lie, with them being the best team in the NFC, the NFC is still up for grabs.
What were your thoughts on the end of the Falcons game? The Falcons, 3 minutes left. They've got two timeouts, fourth and goal at the one against a pretty bad 49ers team, down by four, and they decide to kick a field goal. I mean, if you're on that team, if you're on the Falcons, are you looking at your coach saying, "What the hell are we doing here, coach?"
It just all depends on the flow of the game. I would personally have tried to go for it. I'm not going to kick that field goal, but maybe the coach, he's trying to go for the solid 3 points that he knows he can get, and if he's got faith in his defense, then you could see why a guy would do that. But decisions like that do make the players really question the coach and what the coaching staff is trying to do, and if you're even really trying to win that game, or if you're trying to win it a certain way. So plays like that always happen, and I personally, I'm just happy that Blaine Gabbert showed up yesterday. He started and looked pretty good.
I want to ask you, because getting back to the Falcons a little bit, and you've been on some teams where things started sliding downhill, and they've gone 3 weeks now where they've just been awful in the red zone. That starts affecting play calling. It starts affecting decisions you make.
Yeah.
At what point does that get in your head as a player? It's like, oh, here we go again. We're down here in the red zone, or they're in the red zone and we haven't stopped them.
Well, yeah. Well, you're talking about the Falcons offense, correct?
Yeah, it goes both ways, though. I'm talking about a defense, too. It's the same way if you get in that situation where week after week they're just scoring on you down there.
Well, I mean, the Falcons, the way they're constructed as a team, they're constructed to score. They're not constructed to really stop anybody, have a great defense or anything like that. So that's always going to be their Achilles heel, the defense side of the ball. And I'll always believe teams that are throwing the ball, have a high-octane offense, and that play indoors, I will always believe that you get them outside, you get them on natural grass, they're always going to struggle a little bit, because something about teams that play indoors, you get them outside, they struggle. Plain and simple. And that's where you see a lot of teams like the way the Colts used to be with Peyton Manning, even the Saints. You get those teams outside on grass, natural grass, where you have the regular elements that you have to deal with just in day-to-day. They always struggle. And the Falcons, I don't think they're any different.
Eagles-Cowboys game last night. Cowboys fall to 2-6, and they've been close. Are they still going to – I mean, do you still think they have a chance in this division?
And they're done.
Okay.
They're done. Mathematically, yeah, they're still in it. But you got to think. Tony Romo comes back on November 22nd against the Dolphins. Cameron Wake, he's gone for the season, Achilles injury. You still got Ndamukong Suh. And then right after that, you got a stingy Carolina defense on, I believe it's Thanksgiving. So Dallas is not winning both of those games. Assuming Tony Romo comes back on the 22nd, which he's eligible to come back, Dallas is not winning both those games. And there's a chance, let me knock on wood, there's a chance he may not even come out of both those games healthy. Because Ndamukong Suh with that front seven in Miami, and then you got Carolina with their entire defense, Luke Kuechly, all those boys, there's a chance he may not even come out of those two games healthy in the way the Cowboys are constructed right now, where are they really going? I mean, yeah, the Giants, we don't know which team we're getting out of them every week. The Eagles, same thing with them. The Redskins, they're just not that good. But even if the Cowboys can get some wins going, where are they really, really going, assuming that they can actually get some wins going? That's the way I look at it. That's why I say, man, they're done. I would honestly start planning for next year, because even if you bring Tony Romo back in and you can get a little bit of momentum going, what if he gets hurt again?
Well, here's the question I would have in that situation. If you're the Cowboys and you feel like, you know what, if we get Tony Romo back, we can. I think we're good enough to win a playoff game. And you look around that division, and no one seems to want to run away with it.
Absolutely.
You don't think it's smart for them to just kind of tread water and hope that they're still a game or two out when Tony Romo gets back? Because that's a team, if fully healthy, they can compete with a lot of these NFC teams.
Yes, they can. But right now, they've already dug a huge hole for themselves. They're 2-6. The Giants are 5-4. I believe the Giants have a bye week coming up this week. And you got the Cowboys going to Tampa Bay, which could be a win, could also be a loss. So let's say the Cowboys are now 3-6. You got the Giants. They'll be coming back off their bye. They're 5-4. Then the Cowboys get back Tony Romo. They got Miami. That could be a loss. Maybe, maybe not. Yeah. Who knows? And then the game against Carolina, that's an L. That's an L. And let's say they win the game. But just like in the first Eagles game in week two, all of a sudden, one of those boys, Charles Johnson, Luke Kuechly, whoever else, gets a nice little lick on Tony Romo.
Yeah.
Re-injures the clavicle. And now what? We're sitting here at, let's say, 3-7 or 4-6, and now your quarterback, who was lost for 8 weeks during the season, is now lost leading into the offseason, whether it's March, April, May, something like that. So what are you really accomplishing? Yeah, you're bringing him back. You're going to get some wins. But even Tony Romo fully healthy and Dez Bryant fully healthy, where do you really see this team going?
See, I think those guys fully healthy, they can compete with the other teams in the NFC. I think now it might be
getting to where it's too late.
It might be. Yeah. It might be, but I'll take my chances. If you can get into a situation where even if you're 8-8 and you have a chance to win the division at the end of the year, that's a team you just want to get into the tournament with.
Absolutely. But even with trust me, you're right. Fully healthy, yeah, they're winning the NFCs. They are. But right now, they've dug themselves into a hole. And getting into the tournament, do you really see that team beating Green Bay in Green Bay?
Not with Matt Cassel.
No.
But if Tony Romo's healthy and Dez Bryant's healthy?
I don't see them beating Green Bay in Green Bay with a healthy, emphasis on healthy, Aaron Rodgers. Last year, I get it. The catch that should have been a catch, which it should have been a catch, by the way. But you're dealing with the Aaron Rodgers who can barely even walk straight because of his calf. So you put a healthy Aaron Rodgers in that game last year. Now, obviously, hindsight is 20/20. You put a healthy Aaron Rodgers, the game is not within 10 points.
Yeah, although you're assuming that Tony Romo's going to get hurt again. You could also assume that Aaron Rodgers is going to get beat up by the end of the season again because he does.
Very true. So, very true.
Anyway, that's Stanford Route, former NFL and UH cornerback. You can follow him on Twitter at sroute with 2 T's, 26. Stanford, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate
the time.
Who you got tonight?
Man, I hate to say it, but it seemed like tonight's just going to be a pillow fight out of the Chargers and the Bears. I really, truly believe tonight's a pick 'em. Both teams have been struggling. I would say Phillip Rivers.
I think there's going to be a lot of points scored one way or the other. I don't know who's going to win, but I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game. It just seems that way. All right, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys, man. See you next week.
All right. Going to tell you guys about Gary Trichter. I've been telling you about him for a while because I don't want y'all to get in trouble. I'm not trying to see my boys go to jail. There's tips that they'll have for you guys coming into the holiday party season. And if you go to the website, texasdwilaw.com, all these tips are there. And there's a lot of them that you can throw at your boss and say, hey, when we have our holiday party or if you have one at your house, do it like this. Have your party on a Friday so folks can sleep in or give them the next day off, and encourage guests to designate a volunteer non-drinking driver if they're coming in groups. And then if you have name tags, print drink responsibly on it. Reminds people to think, and it works. Don't allow anyone to bring their own booze to the party, so you have control over the amount. And during the party, serve food, water, and soft drinks at least 30 minutes before the bar opens so people can load up on that and they're not going in hurting themselves. Attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist in Houston. He's experienced in telling the truth about police testing, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI or DUI, call Attorney Gary Trichter. Don't just go with anybody. Go with a guy who's experienced. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit TexasDWILaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Gary Trichter.
I was there on the day truth died. Blood on my hands, throw them up in the sky. And we're back. Open your hearts to needy children in the Houston area this holiday season and join Gal Media and Neighbors Emergency Center in our Toys for Tots Toy Drive. We'll hold a special Saturday toy drop at Neighbors Emergency Clinic in Crosby from 2 until 4. Drop off your unopened, unwrapped donations. You'll get to enter to win an autographed Dwight Howard jersey and help us bring joy to all tots this year. All right, the basketball show with Amal Shaw and Calvin Watkins at 7 o'clock tonight.
The basketball show?
The basketball show.
I'm glad they put so much thought into that name.
I just read what's in front of me.
I mean, don't you think that's a lazy name for a radio show?
I don't know. Jong, did you choose that name?
I did not, but I wanted to keep it simple.
That's simple.
That's about as simple as can be. Did you not recommend, hey, maybe let's try something? The basketball show.
Yeah, it's one of the what they preferred.
All right.
Okay.
You're the expert, my friend. You're the expert.
We'll, you know what? We'll save the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day. Let's squeeze a couple phone calls in. People have been patient. Josh, you're on the Blitz. Go. Hello, Josh.
Hey, sports, Josh. Cool.
3, 2, 1. Justin. All right, let's try Justin.
Hey.
Hey, sports, Justin.
Justin, hey, yeah, how y'all doing? Big time fan of the show.
Thanks, man.
Just had a question. How likely y'all think the Raiders are to get into the playoffs? And then also, who do you think the best candidate for the Miami Hurricanes job is? I'll hang up and listen.
I think the Raiders have a fighting chance. I'd probably put them at about 25-30%, which I think is pretty solid considering they're the Raiders and it's halfway through the season.
And they've got a very favorable schedule because they get the Vikings this week, maybe without Bridgewater, at the Lions, which should be a win, at the Titans, Chiefs at home, at the Broncos, which will be tough. They get the Packers at home, which will be tough. Then they finish with the Chargers and Chiefs. So I think they've got a chance to come in around 8-8, 9-7, which should put them in the hunt for that wild card. And it just depends on what teams like the Steelers do and the Jets and those, that other kind of mid-level group that they're in there competing with. But, yeah, they're there. So
I think the best option for them, for Miami, University of Miami, I mean, I think obviously Butch Davis comes to mind for me. You know, that's a guy who's done a good job there before. I mean, he's an older guy now, and he is probably a scandal waiting to happen. But he brought some success to that place. Obviously, I think Fuente and Herman, they're the two shining stars of this season. I think their possibilities, and I really think Greg Schiano is probably a guy that they should be interested in.
And frankly, they may want to wait and see what happens with. I want to see what happens with some of these NFL coaches.
Yeah,
if the Texans completely fall off the map, I could see Bill O'Brien going back to college.
Yeah.
And that might be a better fit for him. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And you know what? When we come back, we'll do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day. And there's a couple other names. It's funny. I know they won't go back to Temple, but that dude's going to get a job somewhere at a big school. He's done a terrific job there. All right, I'll tell you who else does a terrific job. My good friends at Houston Can Cars for Kids. And they give kids a second chance. Hello? Can we try that again? All right, that's okay. You got to get better across the board there, John. It's all right. These things happen. All right, guys, I got to tell you about my good friends at Houston Can Cars for Kids. And what they do is they give a second chance to kids to help them get an education at Houston Can Academy. If a kid's dropped out of school, they don't know what to do. Houston Can Academy helps them. They change lives every day. They're graduating thinkers. They're graduating really terrific kids. Some of these kids are kids that just had bad luck. Some of them had to get jobs to support their families. Well, Houston Can Academy works around their schedule and helps get them through school. And they also provide all kinds of extra things for them. Glasses, if they need those. Food, they'll even feed them if they're hungry. Transportation to get to the academy. And that's what they do to help these kids. And these kids go out and become great citizens and change a lot of lives themselves. Well, guess what? You can help. All you have to do, get rid of that clunker that's sitting in your yard. If you've got an old vehicle that maybe you're going to try to fix up, you never got around to it, donate it. Your donations are needed. They're going to tow your vehicle absolutely free of charge. Your donation is tax deductible. And if you and wherever you can hear my voice, they'll come get it. If you're over in Lake Charles, they will come over and tow it from there. And we've had a couple people from Lake Charles actually donate their vehicles, which we really appreciate. So you get a tax-deductible donation. They'll take care of the paperwork. They'll come get it. If you donate today, guess what? They're also going to give you a free $50 Visa gift card. It's just their way of saying thank you. Just make sure you tell them you heard about it on The Blitz. Give them a call, 713-225-4226. That's 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. And remember, right off the car, not the kid.